Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. We're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for the NFL draft this morning. To do that, we have a very special guest on the line, on the phone, joining us right away here this morning from West Virginia. His name is Terrence Garvin. He's an NFL draft prospect. Terrence, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
Very good. Terrence, you really popped onto my radar, and I mean popped, during the Pinstripe Bowl this past season. Even though you lost to Syracuse, you had a heck of a game. Now, everybody listen to this stat line. Terrence had a team-leading 15 tackles, 3 for a loss, 2 sacks, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery, and a pass broken up. Terrence, could you have had a more dominant performance?
No, that was a big game for me. I was really just trying to go out my last game the right way. I was excited about the game. It was just a big game for me.
You're not in trouble, are you? I hear the police sirens in the background.
No, not at all. That's just kind of like my little neighborhood.
Sounds good. I'm going to make fun of you for a second here, though. I saw that pass you broke up in the Pinstripe Bowl. That should have been an interception. What happened there?
I don't know. I got excited because I seen I was about to be probably like a little pick six. So I started running before I even caught the ball, and I just dropped it. When I realized I dropped it, I was at the 50. I was like, oh man,
that could have helped the team out.
Yeah, it really could. All my teammates, they were kind of really like messing with, cracking on me. My coaches said we really needed that though. So I wish I would have caught it. That would have been a big little turnaround for us.
You still had a good game regardless. But after the bowl game, you played in a postseason all-star game, the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl. How did that go?
It went well. It was a lot of scouts and different people out there. I felt like I had a pretty good week of practice, a pretty good game. So I'm excited about it. I felt like I got to show scouts different things that I could do for them. I could play safety and I could play like an outside linebacker. So that was really the whole thing I was trying to show up there.
Now, that's what I really want to know. At West Virginia, you kind of played this outside linebacker safety hybrid position. Do they call it the spur? Am I correct?
My first 3 years, we ran a 3 safety system.
Yep.
So it was called the spur. It was a safety, but he came down in the box. He kind of did a little bit of everything. But my last year, we changed the defense, and it was called it was called the star, and it was called an outside linebacker, but he did a lot of stuff a safety would do, but he was just always in the box a little bit more. I blitzed a lot more. I did a lot more linebacker little duties, you can call it.
So how are teams in the NFL looking at you? Do you get the feeling they're looking at you more as a linebacker or more as a safety?
I mean, really, I can do either one. I can go back. I can play safety. I can feel I can come up, play like a little outside linebacker. I can rush your edge. I can cover a tight end. I can go down. I can play special teams for you. It's a lot of things I feel like I can offer to a team. So that's really, I guess, what they're looking at.
At West Virginia, it seemed like the defense was always kind of to blame after the offense, and guys like Geno Smith and Tavon Austin and Stedman Bailey, they're putting up points, but then the opponent would keep pace with them. Was it difficult to kind of be that punching bag with people pointing fingers at the defense?
I mean, it's hard. It's hard giving up points like that. But as a team, we tried to really just stick together and try to pull out wins the best we could. We were always going out there as defense trying to stop them. We just things would go wrong. We would just have little things go wrong and just give up big plays. Like a lot of our scores came from just big plays. Being in the wrong place, wrong alignment, or somebody doing the wrong assignment. So maybe that was just our problem. We really just never really just clicked and got on the same page.
How did your pro day workout go? When was that?
I'm not sure the exact date. I want to say the 16th, March 16th.
Okay.
But it went okay. I got to show scouts a little bit of my athleticism. I got to show them I could run a little bit. I could I could jump a little bit, and I had some strength. I flipped the bench up 18 times, so that wasn't bad for me. I was really just trying to show scouts that I was athletic, like I could move around.
Because we're based here in Wisconsin and we kind of cover the Green Bay Packers, we want to know, have you had any communication with the Green Bay Packers, either at your pro day or the All-Star game?
At the All-Star game, I sat down with them a couple of times in the interviews, and they talked to me a little bit. So, yeah, I had a little bit of communication with them.
Do you have any visits set up with any NFL teams?
Not yet. I'm really just waiting to see what's going on. I had to work out with the Ravens last Friday.
Fair enough. What is your strengths and your weaknesses? What is the thing you bring best to a team and the thing you still have to work on?
The thing I bring best to a team is just I can do a lot of things for a team. Like I said, I can go back and play safety. I can come up in packages. I can play outside linebacker. I can rush the pass rusher. I can cover your tight ends. I can cover your slots. And play special teams for you, play punt, kickoff, different things like that, kickoff return. So I feel like those are my strengths. My weaknesses is really just like, what would you call it, like a tweener, I guess you can say. So it seems like I don't have a set position.
Mm-hmm.
Like it seems like some people might say I'm not this to be a safety or I'm too small to be a linebacker. So I feel like that's really just my weaknesses, is finding out my certain position and letting me go ahead and try to master that up.
Well, you said you had interviews with the Packers at the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl, where, you know, as Packer fans here, we hope for the best for you, but wherever you end up, we wish you the best of luck, Terrence, and thanks for coming on our show this morning.
Thank you for having me.
All right, take care. Terrence Garvin of West Virginia joining us on the show this morning here at Cheesehead TV on Railbird Central. We appreciate him joining us. Pretty cool. Interviewed with the Packers at the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl. Interesting guy. I wanted to get him on the show because, seriously, I watched Terrence Garvin during the Pinstripe Bowl with West Virginia when they played Syracuse, and he just popped out on film. I haven't seen a dominating performance like that on defense in a long time. Again, let me pull up those stats again in case you missed the very beginning of the interview. Here's what Terrence Garvin did in the Pinstripe Bowl. 15 tackles, which led the team, three tackles for a loss, two sacks, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery, and he should have had an interception that he dropped, hit him right in the hands, which he regrets, but still, he was in position to make the play. And did good regardless of the dropped interception. So he is a really interesting prospect. Like he says, he's kind of that tweener. You don't really know if he's a linebacker or he's a safety. I tend to think he's a safety just based upon what I saw from him, and it had mostly to do with his performance in the Pinstripe Bowl. But, I mean, I watched him in the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl as well. I put him in our NFL draft guide, Pro Football Draft Preview here at Cheesehead TV. He's listed among the safeties. So I put him there. I think he does have that ability to play in space. He would obviously be more of your strong safety type, your in-the-box type of player. But I do think he has that kind of ability and could be, an under-the-radar type of guy. At the NFL level. So not going to be a first round draft choice by any mean, probably not even going to be a day two draft choice, but a guy who could go on day three or be one of those undrafted kind of guys. And he'll latch on somewhere in the NFL. So we're getting close to NFL draft time here. We are now just over 2 weeks away, right? As of tomorrow, 2 weeks away. So getting to that time of year where we're just, I mean, that's the focus right now is NFL draft, NFL draft, NFL draft. And, everything else is taking a back seat in the NFL. The free agency is basically over. Not really. I mean, free agency lasts all year long. You can sign a free agent at any time off the street. But, the big names are off the are off the market now, so we're totally focused on the NFL draft. I've been doing my my radio circuit, you know, kind of talking NFL draft with radio stations around Wisconsin, you know, giving a little pump to the Cheesehead TV draft guide, but, you know, talking NFL draft in general. And you know, that everybody asked me, where are the Packers going to go? What are they going to do? Well, I still, to this day, I wish I had a better answer, but I have no clue what the Packers are going to do. They have so many needs, and we're talking the first round here. And basically, you know, I made this, you know, rather clear in the Cheesehead TV draft guide in my letter to the editor, what kind of broke down the positions I think the Packers might address. Now, obviously, the Packers are set at quarterback, obviously, with Aaron Rodgers. I think they're pretty good shape at cornerback. You know, they've got four guys there who could be starters at corner, and they have really good depth there. So I don't think you're looking at the Packers addressing those positions in the first round. I also don't think they go add guard to that list as well. TJ Lang and Josh Sitton signed long-term contract extensions, each within the past year or two, and they're under contract to like 2015 and 2016. Packers aren't taking a guard. They might take an interior lineman that could be a center, perhaps, maybe, but not a true guard. Sorry, they're not taking Chance Warmack, and Chance Warmack wouldn't last until where the Packers draft anyway. On top of that, now there's two positions I think the Packers will purposely avoid. I think those positions are tackle and outside linebacker in the first round. And it's tough. I mean, I'm a little less confident about this than I am about the cornerback, quarterback, guard. But because, I mean, what if perhaps somebody slips? Like, you know, I think the Packers will purposely avoid outside linebacker just because they took Nick Perry in the first round last year. And again, I think I've gone through this before, but I mean, you know what, outside linebacker, Clay Matthews is never coming off the field ever, you know, as long as he's healthy. He's not coming off the field for the Packers. And then, you know, they just added Nick Perry last year. So if you go and add an outside linebacker again in the first round, even though that position needs depth in Green Bay, well, guess what? I mean, it's either Nick Perry or your new first round draft choice that's going to be on the sideline every down. One of them is going to be, because they're set at that position. They're fine. So I really don't see is the Packers addressing that in round one, at least, you know, maybe later. But the one thing just in the back of my mind that gives me the little bit of hesitation, you know, what if somebody drops? What if Jarvis Jones of Georgia drops because teams are maybe worried about his medical status, which I don't think they should be. You know, he was that USC transferred. He had some, they thought he had stenosis, I think it was, in his neck. They didn't want to put him at risk. And you know, that it's kind of a dangerous situation, but he ends up transferring to Georgia, plays his entire season there, plays fantastic, by the way, one of the top outside linebackers in this year's draft class. What if he drops to 26? Can you really pass that kind of talent up? You know, that would be a tough one. I mean, could you imagine the Packers, the riches at outside linebackers they could have with Clay Matthews, Nick Perry, and Jarvis Jones? Wow, that would be something. That would be something. Also, I think the Packers will purposely avoid tackle in the first round, because in two out of the past three drafts, they've taken tackles in the first round. They've taken Brian Bulaga in 2010. They took Derek Sherrod in 2011. And I think you got to roll the dice with those guys. I know they're both coming off of injuries. And on top of that, they have Marshall Newhouse, who isn't an injury concern at all. So they've got three guys there, not to mention a couple projects in Don Barclay, who played right tackle last year. You took Andrew Datko in the seventh round last year, who got his seasoning on the practice squad. So you've got five guys there. So I just think you avoid tackle in the first round. And again, that's not to say you can't add some depth later, but again, what if the Packers really like Menelik Watson, the tackle from Florida State? And this is an interesting guy. He's another British native, from England, from the UK, who, played Division One college basketball here in the States. And maybe if somebody here can remind me, where did he play his college basketball at? I forget off the top of my head. It was at a smaller Division One school. Of course, there's over like 350 Division One basketball schools. It's not like football in the NCAA. College basketball is a whole different beast. There's like over 350 Division One schools, but he played some college basketball, but gave that up. I think he kind of realized, okay, you know, the roster size in the NBA is like, what is it, 12? There's not nearly as many jobs in the NBA as there are in the NFL. Got a better chance of going the football route. So Menelik Watson transfers to a JUCO, a junior college, then goes to Florida State, and in just 1 year becomes a legitimate NFL prospect. He played right tackle at Florida State. He's so athletic, he could be a left tackle. So he's intriguing. He definitely really intrigues me. Even a guy like Teron Armstead, another athletic guy, you think possibly could be a late round one prospect. I think the Packers got to avoid it, though. I think they got to avoid it. John points out on the live blog, Datko was thought of as a first round talent until he got injured. Definitely. He's a guy there, Andrew Datko, that the Packers were pretty high on last year. And I think they hope, you know, after he spent a year in their practice squad, he's a guy who might be able to compete, participate here in 2013, be part of the team, and maybe be a force going forward. I mean, we'll see. We'll see how much in the offseason program here, how much he's improved. He had a ways to go. He had a couple injury issues. He had some shoulder issues to overcome. We'll see if he's overcome them and see how he's doing. So excited to see. You know, those are the kind of things you look forward to watching to in the offseason program. See how guys like Andrew Datko are progressing. These second-year guys who, you know, maybe didn't get a whole lot of playing time as a rookie, but see how much they improve. They always say that the biggest strides you make in the NFL are from year one to year two. So those kind of guys are always fun to watch. Those rookies heading into their sophomore seasons, if you will, as professionals. But you know, kind of getting back, I'm getting off track here about positions the Packers may or may not address in the first round. So I'm saying the Packers are probably going to avoid quarterback, cornerback, guard, tackle, and outside linebacker. And I think that leaves open, obviously, special teams as well, kickers, punters. They're not going to take any of those guys in the first round. That leaves every other position as possibilities for the Packers to address, meaning safety, meaning inside linebacker, meaning defensive line, meaning center, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. So that's a lot of positions, but those are places the Packers could go in the first round. And certainly some are more likely than others. You know, it's not likely the Packers address the center position, unless perhaps that Jonathan Cooper of North Carolina drops to them. He's the guy who's kind of being looked at as an interior offensive lineman, played guard at North Carolina, but being looked at as a center. So maybe, possibly, that's where his future lies, but hard to say. I don't think he gets to the Packers at 26, but anyway, he would be the only one who I think would be worthy of a first-round pick at center. There's been talk of Barrett Jones, been talk of Travis Frederick, but those are more day two type of guys. I'm thinking the more I look at them, the more I see other people's opinions of them, people who I respect. That's what I'm thinking there. But, you know, really any other position I could see the Packers taking. Wide receiver is a little bit tough to see just because the Packers already have three good ones in Jordy Nelson and James Jones and Randall Cobb. You know, if they were to take a wide receiver in the first round, the guy is fourth string at best. He's your number four option. And yeah, you can make the argument that what if they have an injury? You know, then all of a sudden he becomes number three, and the number three wide receiver in the Packers offense can be quite, you know, a very productive position. You know, they really make use of their wide receivers, and even a number four wide receiver in Green Bay can definitely, make a difference on the field, no doubt about it. But I just think you avoid that position in the first round, and you try to get some guys later. I do like this year's wide receiver draft class. I don't know. I don't think a lot of people really regard it as all that good. Maybe because you don't have those elite first-round receivers that you saw these past few years. Guys like Julio Jones, guys like Dez Bryant, you know, those kind of, you know, elite first-rounder type of guys, Justin Blackman. Maybe there's not those high draft choices at wide receivers, but, you know, I do like the depth of the wide receiver draft class, and I think they can get a good guy, you know, in the mid rounds, possibly, perhaps. They could go in that direction. Now, again, maybe they fall in love with somebody. Maybe they really like Robert Woods of USC late in the first round. I like him, in fact. So is he a type of guy who maybe you take a chance on in round one? Maybe Keenan Allen of California. In fact, here we go. I saw this at Acme Packing Company because they're part of the SB Nation. They had somebody, a representative of SBNation.com, at Keenan Allen's personal pro day workout yesterday. They reported the Packers had a representative there. So just happened yesterday. Keenan Allen of California, kind of regarded as one of the top wide receivers in this year's draft class, but he's coming off a PCL injury in his knee. So he wasn't able to participate at the combine, wasn't able to participate in Cal's pro day workout, their original one. So he held his own pro day workout yesterday, you know, later than most, but he was able to actually participate in front of scouts, things like that. And the Packers were in attendance. So again, a guy who, you know, may slip because of injury concerns. What if he gets to the Packers at number 26? Might they pull the trigger on a guy like Keenan Allen? So John points out on the live blog, Allen ran a 4.7 40. That's not good. 4.7 is not fast. But again, he does have injury issues. You might think once he gets a little bit healthier, that time's only going to get faster. Then again, the flip side of the coin, the other side of the argument, I can hear people, I can hear you listeners right now in the back of your heads. Maybe you're not saying it out loud, but you're like, oh my goodness, don't take another guy who's injured. The Packers don't need to be taking chances on guys with injury histories. You know, the last time they did that in the first round, they drafted Justin Harrell out of Tennessee, the defensive lineman, a few years ago. A guy who, of course, had a lot of talent, but ends up, what did he have? A torn pectoral muscle coming out of Tennessee, I think, was it? and you know, just ends up being injured his whole time as a professional, never could see the field. Really disappointing draft choice from an injury standpoint, any standpoint really, but never could get on the field because of his injuries. You know, it's tough taking guys, you know, who have that injury history. It really is. It's tough to put that faith in them that they're going to get back to a pre-injury level. And while we've now kind of touched on the draft, speaking of coming back from a pre-injury level, if you go to FoxSportsWisconsin.com just today, just published today, there was an interview with Desmond Bishop, inside linebacker of the Green Bay Packers, who's coming back from his own injury. If you remember, he tore his hamstring last year. Week one of the preseason, missed the whole entire year, was put on injured reserve. Tells Fox Sports Wisconsin he's back, that he's going to be ready for training camp. I'm not sure if he's going to be ready for the off-season program, but he'll be ready for training camp. Says he's back, full strength. But I'll tell you what, folks, I am really skeptical of Desmond Bishop. He might be back at full strength or the best he's going to get, but I'll tell you what, I just don't know if Desmond Bishop is ever going to be the same player he was. I hope he is. I'm hopeful as much as I can be, but I'm also skeptical. Can you be hopeful and skeptical at the same time? Is that possible? Is that a contradiction? I'm not sure if you can be. If you can, that's my feelings on Desmond Bishop. Hopeful yet skeptical. I hope he can be the same player he was in 2010 during the Super Bowl year, in 2011. But then last year he suffers that big hamstring injury and just, you know, it's tough. It's tough. I'm just worried about him. I'm worried about him. John asks on the live blog here, getting back to a little bit of draft talk. What are your thoughts on Marcus Lattimore? My thoughts on Marcus Lattimore is that I'm really scared of him. You know, he's had two knee injuries at South Carolina, including a gruesome one this past season. We've talked about this here on Real Bird Central before. You go watch that video, you're going to wince when you go you know, when you see that and you see the knee injury that he had in 2012 here. You know, for a guy who is obviously talented, no doubt about it. I mean, if you ever watch Marcus Lattimore in South Carolina in college, you know he's a good player. I mean, but, you know, coming off of two knee injuries, you know, that is really rolling the dice with, you know, if you're going to go after him, especially in the high rounds. I would not spend a day one, obviously, or even a day two draft choice on Marcus Lattimore. I would be skeptical of even anything but a late round draft choice on him. That's just too much to, those injuries are a little too much to overcome. A lot like Desmond Bishop, I'm hopeful, but skeptical. I just don't think Marcus Lattimore is going to be the same player ever again. Of course, there was the reports out of his pro day workout. You remember that? I think we talked about this at the time, that he received a round of applause at his pro day workout. That just doesn't happen. I've been to pro day workouts at Wisconsin. You know, nobody's out there cheering, clapping. But after he came out and worked out, he didn't do, I don't think, the time drills, but he was doing footwork, things like that. He got a round of applause from his teammates, other observers at the pro day. You know, really like the way he was coming back, the way he's rehabbing. And, you know, maybe he's just that talented of a guy that is able to overcome it. But again, color me skeptical. I just don't, it's too much of a risk for me. We've seen the Packers draft these injured guys, Justin Harrell, James Starks. They were just named on the live blog here. Guys who the Packers have drafted, who John threw some names out, Mike Neal. It's even though a guy like Mike Neal might be coming on now, he's had his injury history with the Packers too. Tough things to overcome. So we'll see. As we're now less than 2 weeks away, not less than, just more than. As of tomorrow, it'll be exactly 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. So getting excited. Anyway, it's Wednesday, folks. We'll be back again on Friday. Another episode of Railbird Central. Go check it out at 9:55 a.m. this morning. Tight end JerMichael Finley is joining KFan in Minneapolis for an interview. You can stream that over the internet. So the voice of the Vikings, their radio play-by-play guy, Paul Allen, I think, is conducting the interview with JerMichael Finley. So 9:55 a.m. Central Time. Go to KFan.com to listen to Packers tight end JerMichael Finley. But as for now, that'll do it on Railbird Central. Thanks for joining us this morning, folks. On behalf of Jamie Jores, I'm Brian Kirvu. We'll see you later, everyone. We'll see you on Friday morning. But as for now, checking out. I'm Brian Kirvu. See you later, everyone. Go Pack Go. I leave you today with a song called Nothing Too Fancy by Umphrey's McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya.